Thanks, everybody, for being here. We don't have any opening statements or anything like that, but we do have two microphones. If we could just use the microphones, please, for the questions, that would be appreciated. So anybody want to start? Paul?
Tim, first, as you move into the summertime now, what kind of things did you tell the players as they leave now? We know some of them aren't going to be here. I mean, they might have questions. What kind of things do you tell the guys? And not now, what is the big – I know the draft is the biggest thing, but as far as forming the team and moving forward, what are your thoughts?
Well, the players don't care about the draft. So when I addressed the players before the team picture, it was about expectation being higher, about the culture we want to produce here, and how this year was completely unacceptable. And I gave them, I told them that, you know, it wasn't all on them. It was on management. It was on coaching staff. A lot of it was on injuries where we had to put people into positions that they aren't ready for. So that's out of our hands. But as far as coming next year and being ready to battle for jobs, it's going to be competition. We're not going to hand jobs to young kids unless they deserve it. And come in shape and come ready to battle and come ready to play hard.
John?
That was the message.
For Ted, there's been lots of speculation about your coaching staff. Has determination been made in regards to your assistants at this point?
At this point, no. It's just one of those things. You want to make sure you evaluate properly. And Tim and I had some discussions last couple weeks and addressing that. But it's hard to address during the season. So we just got done yesterday. I had a lot of one-on-ones, and one of the things that Tim and I discussed about giving the players we got coming back the proper message on how we're going to turn things around here, and the expectations are going to be a little bit higher, and training camps are going to be a lot tougher. So that was the number one concern. So now, last night and early parts, we looked at the coaching staff, and then we'll make that call in due time.
Jim.
Ted or Tim, what do you take away from when the players, some of the players like Mike Weber, Tyler Ennis, saying they felt that losing was unacceptable, that, you know, that has to end? What you talk about compete, what do you think about their statements?
What else are they going to say? They have to say that. I believe that they believe that. I hope they believe that. It is unacceptable. It was a lot of nights it was hard to watch. A lot of nights we competed hard and just didn't have enough talent to put us over the top. But other nights weren't pretty. I would expect that a guy of Weber's character and Ennis's character to be upset about it and to say it's unacceptable and to say that next year we start over and we have to be better. That's what we're saying. So if the players aren't saying that, there's something wrong.
Jerry?
Tim, you said this season was unacceptable. Will not making the playoffs next year be acceptable?
Depends how we do it. There's still lots of questions to be answered about direction. There's lots of questions to be answered about our top young players. Are they ready? Is it the right thing for them to be here or to be in Rochester? We haven't had pro meetings yet. We haven't had amateur meetings yet. We haven't decided our draft list yet. So there's all kinds of questions that have to be answered that will help us answer which direction we're going in next year. But the direction we're going in, depending on whether it's young, it's old, it's free agency, it's trades, we have to improve. So are we going to improve in leaps and bounds, or is it going to be increments? But we will improve. But we have to, as an organization, decide how we're going to get there. This is not going to be a five-year rebuild. For me, anyway, that's not what I want. So the mantra is you improve every day, right? So we're going to try to improve every day.
John?
For either of you or both of you, two guys in particular, Zemgus Girgensen and the steps he made from the beginning of the year till now, and Cody Hudson started as one of the top centers and now the wing. Where do you see him going in the future?
Well, we talked about Jorgensen's last night during our our little get together. I mean, this kid's going to be he's going to be a real good player. And I on a personal note, I was I've been associated with Z now for about 4 years, being over in Lafayette, being part of their junior team, and watching his development, his growth, and why he's why he grew as much as he did. And I think it just stems down to the type of person that he is. He just he works all the time, and people who work all the time have a tendency to get better. And hopefully that rubs off on some of his peers, and even some of them last night even mentioned that. So it was a great compliment to him. Cody Hodson, you know, Tim and I discussed what could be a possibility of getting him on the top six forwards and slipping him off to a wing. And so we tried it, tried him there last summer games. He liked it. So it all depends on people we bring and what we have and the type of team that we have, whether we get some big power forwards to give him the puck in center, or we get him a good center to give him the puck. So it's we'll have a chance to evaluate that this summer. Mike?
Tim, aside from Leno, what do you think the chances of using the second buyout would be? And yes, I asked it that way intentionally.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I understand that you guys get it. I would say it's 50-50. I mean, we haven't made a decision yet, so I would think there would be a better than 50-50 chance that we don't use it.
John?
Tim, I to follow up on Mike's question, what are your thoughts on Ville, and do you anticipate buying him out? That wasn't my original question, but...
Well, buying him out is a possibility. Buying him out is a tool we can use to improve our team. So have we made that decision? Have we sat down as a group and made that decision? No, we haven't. Has everybody thought about that? Of course. So it's a very good possibility. It's not 100%, but it's a very good possibility that that's one of our buyouts.
And as the question I wanted to ask is, last year and over the summer, a lot was made about...
I wasn't here.
Yes, fair enough. But a lot was made in regards to setting up the fans to prepare for suffering. And that became a catchphrase.
I'm not using that word.
Fair enough. Yes.
I want to get out in front of you.
Good. No. And you're doing a fine job, but that's what the fans want to hear. Yeah. But how much of a rebuilding job, without using the word suffering, might people still be in store for, given where this team essentially bottomed out this season?
When you tear it down, it doesn't happen overnight. I don't buy into 5-year rebuilds. I think when you use terminology like that, you're really, as a GM, you're setting yourself up for a long run if your owner buys into what you're saying. So yeah, I mean, I could sit here and say it's a 7-year rebuild, and hopefully I get 10 years out of it. But that's not reality, and it's not what I want anyway. I want to rebuild here properly, which takes time. But it doesn't have to take years. So we're not going to take shortcuts. We're going to do it right. There are circumstances that are out of our control. So... If St. Louis go to the conference final and the Islanders give us the pick, that gives us 3 first-round picks this year. That may change what our plan is the following year. So there are lots of questions, I know, and you want the answers, but we have to let things play out that aren't in our control to make decisions based on those circumstances.
Go on. Yeah.
Ted, will Michael and Jonas compete for the starting job during training camp next season?
Yes, you know, as Tim mentioned, you know, we're setting up a culture here where people are gonna have to start earning jobs instead of just okay, Jonas, you got it, or Nuvi, you got it. It's one of those things where we gotta make it competitive. We have to change the culture, and when you rebuild a program, it's setting a structure in place and it's setting a foundation. So foundation will be in place that the players got to start earning their stripes and earning their positions.
Jerry?
Ted Weber said that the standard has to change. You took a bunch of Latvians to the Olympics who were 5 minutes from beating Canada. So I'm just wondering if you have to be careful about allowing this team, these players next year, to accept a lower standard.
Oh, that's not accepted. That definitely won't be accepted. You know, as far as where we finished is going to be based on how we perform and what we're going to do with the standards. You can compete. You don't have to have a whole lot of skill to compete, and you don't have a whole lot of skill to come in training camp in the best possible shape that you can come into it. So all those things are going to be set forth. So we're going to have a team that's going to compete and put the effort and far as the development, and far as the maturity of some of the other players, younger players. That's all time, and that's all nurturing, and that's all. You just got to be patient for some of those young guys like we have to really develop it. That doesn't stop us from competing real hard and early and often.
Tim, two quick hits on the draft. Would it be safe to say if you don't win the draft lottery tonight that you would probably be rooting for the Islanders to be the team to win it? On the theory, they would certainly keep that pick in your
mind. Anything that makes a decision harder for Garth, I'm cheering for. So I want his job to be really hard. And if they win the lottery and pick one, that moves us to two. I can live with that. I want to win the lottery. I want to win something here. But I do want to win the lottery. If I don't win it, I want Garth to win it. And so at least then there's a 50-50 chance we get that pick. He's got to say yes or he's got to say no. That's not maybe. And then next year in a really good draft, if he decides to keep it this year, then you have an extra pick. So it's a win-win situation, I believe.
And then the second thing is you've been open about the prospects. You mentioned it on the radio. You just finished a season where you were the lowest scoring team in the expansion era. Is it really conceivable you could take Aaron Ekblad in the draft, given the fact you've had the lowest scoring team in basically the history of modern hockey?
We could. If he's the best player, and I'm not saying he's the best player, but he's in the group of three or four guys that when we get together in May, that will be discussed as the number one pick. So he's in the group. I'm not going to say that he for sure is the number one pick or player on our list, but he will be in the discussion. There's no question. He's a defenseman. We don't score enough, obviously, but we have to take the best player available. I know the players don't like to hear it. I sometimes call them assets, but if he's the best asset, the best player available, we would be open to taking him. And we think that he would improve our organization in the future. Is he going to help us score goals next year? He's probably going to be back in junior next year. So if we take him, so no, that's not going to help us. We have to find other people, other than the first pick in this draft, to help us score more next year. And I think that having Teddy here for the whole year, I think that we can make improvements, certainly to our bottom six. I believe that's very achievable. Can we make improvements to our top six? I think the top six is going to improve by having more support in the bottom six, by a guy like Zegras getting older and more mature, by Hodgson getting older and more mature. Stafford will be going into a contract year. I assume that he thinks that's an important year, and he's told me that. Ennis is just getting better. I think if we help these kids, if we put better players around them, that they are going to be more comfortable and will score somewhat more. I don't know how much more. But the first overall pick or the second overall pick, I'm not sure yet that person will help us score more next year, whether it's a forward or a defenseman.
John?
Tim, you just mentioned a few guys who should be moving forward, but organizationally, where do you see you set right now? Well, not set, but your best thing right now going forward to rebuild this thing, where your organization is?
We have some good young prospects that are already here, and we've got a ton of picks that we have to turn into good young prospects. That's the ammunition we have. So how do we turn them into good young prospects? We draft them with the picks, or we trade the picks for guys that I've said all along I'd like to get, guys that are a little farther along. Again, we don't know who those guys are. I mean, we know who the good young players are in every other team, but we don't know who's going to be moved or possibly be moved. So you have to scout accordingly. You have to scout that you're going to have two or three first-round picks this year. You just can't scout that you have the one pick. And you have to, your pro guys have to pay attention to not only UFAs, but to young players that some nights play 18 minutes a game and some nights play 8 minutes a game because their coach falls off them. So we have to identify those guys and be prepared to listen to trade talks. And so there's different ways to do it, and I'm just not sure which is the right way. I know the right way. I don't know what way is going to be presented to the Buffalo Sabres.
Paul?
Coach, you didn't pick this team, and I know I've been around you long enough. I know how you want the game to be played. You had some guys on your team this year who didn't play the game the way you want it played. Did you tell some guys when you met with them yesterday, hey, you're not going to be back because you just don't play it the way I see the game should be played?
That's pretty tough to say to a player. But do I like a certain style of player? Certainly. Tim and I discussed that. And when you ask when we have what we have this year and expect them to do something that's uncharacteristic of their abilities, you're asking them something that they can't give you. So going forward, last year is last year. We'll forget about it, grab some players that we feel is going to give us that and add a little bit more to us and contribute to the development of the team and the organization and where we all want to get to. Certainly it takes a certain type of player.
Bill?
Tim, do you anticipate signing a couple veterans in free agency this year?
I would like to. They have to approach us and decide if they want to come here. I would like to get out in front and bring a couple of veteran guys in that I think can provide leadership, but not just leadership. The whole great in the locker room thing, I don't care about. They got to be great in the locker room and be able to play the game. And I think that we could use, two guys that are strong, both on the ice and in the locker room. And strong on the ice may be a third or fourth line role. I hope it's better than that, but it may be a third line role guy that. That plays properly and can lead by example and be a little vocal in the locker room. And I think that we could really use that in the organization. And if we are going to have some kids on our team, they could really use it also.
Mike?
Tim, the one thing we haven't checked in with you on much this year at all is the subject of supplemental discipline. It became a big lightning rod before you were here, all the way back to preseason with John Scott, and it continued through the season with the perception by a lot of fans that the Sabres weren't getting their fair shake, right up to the Ruidel-Ronaldo play, which I know both of you were unhappy about. What are some of the things you've tried to deal with in your dealings with the league on that area, and how do you feel it's been handled to this point and can be handled going forward with your club?
I've had some talks with people in the league. We've had our pee-pee slap once here, so I got to be careful what I say. I'm on notice, so, and I don't want to have to pay that fine.
I can't pay it either.
No, I know. So no, but I mean, I had a talk yesterday with Walcom about the McBain hit, and they were in agreement with what I had to say. So we're not always going to agree, but we're going to. Like the 10-minute misconduct to John, and he's a target, and maybe he's earned that he's a target. So he's got to find a way to help the team that is in a stage fight. And I'm not a big fan. I love fight. Like I loved Delorier the other night. I mean, I was excited, and I thought that was great. It's a great part of the game. I think Teddy and I are in agreement that the stage fight is kind of if the league wants to get rid of that, we agree with them. I use all the time, and I use with the players in the dressing room yesterday, that we want to be hard to play against. We won't be the best team, but we don't want a team to come in here and think it's an easy 2 points. So we have to, I personnel wise and Teddy coaching wise has to, we have to figure out how to get better at that. And, sometimes when you're the 30th place team, some calls don't go your way because it depends who you're playing against. And I don't think there's any malice in that, or they do it purposely, but you just you don't have the same respect that the Boston Bruins have, for an example. And you have to earn that respect on the ice, and we will earn that back. And I think we'll earn it back with the league and the officials, but we'll also learn we'll earn a respect back that going forward next year, that we're going to be harder to play against. You know, we've had some issues with our goalies and injuries and that I don't like. So we just have to be harder to play against, and we have to gain respect from our opponents more so than worrying about what the referees call.
Got a couple more, then we're going to wrap up. Paul, you.
So when it comes to Christian Ehrhoff, I've never really spoken to you about him. Is he maybe in his role here in Buffalo in a shade over his head? I mean, would he be better served if he maybe had one or two better defensemen where he could play as a number two or a three defenseman instead of as a number one?
Like every single player here, and we talked about this upstairs with another group of people that work for us. If everybody had more support, they'd be better hockey players. I've been through, you know, the down times with certain Anaheim and Ottawa, where we've had a tough year and we've traded some guys, and we thought, oh, you know, your first reaction is your kids aren't coming as quick as you had hoped or that you thought the year before, and then all of a sudden you surround them with better people and they're back to where they were 2 years before. It's support. Everything in life, it's support. You support your players with better players. You support your coaching staff. You support management, gets support. We support each other, and we do a better job. Our players will look better on the ice. Our young guys will be more confident. And that's being harder to play. Go back to being harder to play against. You want to allow your young guys to feel confident that they can do things with the puck. And when you have good people around them on the ice, and they know that each other has each other's backs, they play with more confidence. Confidence is a word used a lot in hockey. And everybody plays with more confidence when they know that somebody has their back and they're supported by coaches, management, and their teammates. And we have to provide more support.
Bill, did you have one?
Ted, I mean, do you expect Tyler Myers to be that franchise defenseman again next season after, you know, he had a pretty nice winter, I guess you could say?
Yeah, no question. I think this guy, you look at him with all the tools, and as Tim just mentioned, everybody needs support. And if you haven't got a supporting cast, there's not too many people could... especially the game we play. It's a team game. It's not an individual sport. So we need good support, and we support Tyler with the right situation. You know, he's 6'8", but he skates like he's 5'8". So we expect big things for sure.
Mike, one more, then we'll wrap it up.
Tim, the subject of tanking has come up a lot in the NBA because of the quality of the draft, and I would anticipate it's going to come up a lot in the NHL because of next year's draft. Certainly this franchise, most people say, before you guys arrived at the start of this year, was tanking. And I don't think anybody in this room disagrees with that. What is your message to the fans about next season going forward? How do you balance? You obviously want to be high in the 2015 draft, and several other teams do as well. How do you balance the long-term goal of wanting to be high in that draft with the short-term of the fans paying money to see winning hockey?
We want to be competitive. If you think, and not you, I'm not saying you. If anybody thinks that there's a message of tanking being sent from upstairs, I would suggest they put a camera on me for 60 minutes of the game when we're losing, and you'll know that tanking is not what I want. And I want to play properly. I want to be competitive. Are we going to lose a lot of games because we're not there talent-wise? Sure. But I guess I helped the team tank inadvertently by trading away three or four veteran players at the deadline, but that was not to tank. That was what was best for the organization. The coaches on the bench don't want to lose. The players on the ice, I can't imagine there's one player in there that wants to finish last so we can get Connor McDavid so he can lose his job. So I know that tanking is a word that's used a lot, but I don't know where I don't know where the tanking would, and maybe people can help me or fans can help me. Where in our organization would the tanking come from if the GM doesn't want to lose and the coaches don't want to lose and the players certainly don't want to lose in order to lose their jobs? So I've heard lots about it. I get it. I do know. I just think it's thrown around quite easily. I think it's a lot harder to achieve than people think it is. To me, the only way you can do it is to put all your talented young players in the minors. And I shouldn't be saying, but we're not going to do this. But to me, I've thought about it. How our team's going to tank next year? You're going to put all your young talented players in the minors, and you're going to sign a bunch of fourth line players to play in your second, third, and fourth line. I can't figure out any other way to do it, because once those players are signed, they don't want to lose. We get judged every day. I'm going to judge him. Ownership is going to judge me. We're all going to judge the players. So, I mean, people lose jobs in this game every day. So I think deep down, nobody wants to tank. Nobody wants to finish last. Now, we did, and hopefully we get the first pick and we get to improve ourselves. And are we going to improve enough next year to not finish last? I'm not, you know, I can't make that prediction right now. I don't know. Again, there were, like I said, there were circumstances beyond our control that we have to wait for. But I think tanking's hard. So maybe somebody knows better than me how to do it properly. I don't know how to do it properly, I don't think. I could do it blatantly and get in big trouble. So I'm not going to do that.
Can you guys address real quick Hackett and Neuwirth's health status? That's the only thing that really didn't come out yesterday. What is up with Hackett? What is up with Neuwirth?
Hackett's its knee, and Neuwirth its a hip.
So Hackett is 6 months, 7 months, that kind of thing? That long term?
A lot was going on yesterday, so I'm not 100% sure, but I think Hackett needs surgery. Yes.
We'll get you an update.
Yeah, we'll get an update. I'm not afraid to tell that. I don't know for sure. And Neuwirth has just been a nagging hip. We sent him to a specialist, and we're just trying to – we think he's a good goalie, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. And hopefully, beyond the injury, how can we help him in that area so that it's not a recurring thing?
Do you know of any other surgeries your players wanting to have?
I think Foligno is pondering a minor shoulder surgery. Talinder is he's got a big bulge on his ankle, so we're going to cut that off. I don't know if that's proper terminology either.
The bulge, not the ankle.
Not the ankle. We're not cutting the ankle off. We're cutting the spur or whatever it is off. But I told the trainer just to send them up to me. I got a sharp knife, and we can get that done quick, but they want experts to do that.
Thank you, everybody. Yes.